lake, brought the boat to shore, and climbed out. The people recognized Jesus at once, and they ran throughout the whole area carrying sick people on mats to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he went, to villages, cities, or the countryside, they brought the sick out to him to the marketplaces and begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe. All who touched him were healed.
Amen. Thank you so much, Miss Lydia, and thank you so much, everyone who participated in today's service. Wasn't that beautiful? Amen. So thankful. What Lydia just read was Mark chapter 6. That's our sermon text for today. That is our sermon text for today. So if you will turn to Mark chapter 6, verses 53 through 56. Short little passage today that we're covering. And if you are still, if you did not get to vote for deacons last week, this is mainly for members, well, really only for members. If you are still seeking a ballot, look for Bob Little. Where'd Bob go? Where is Bob? There's Bob right there. Bob. Everybody say, hey, Bob. Hey, Bob. All right. And then Phil. Phil is on security. And so he's out in the Welcome Center. So, but they have extra ballots. So if you did not get to vote last week, please report to them. Go grab a ballot. That way we can get those deacons voted in and we can report those results to you. If you're a child, you're staying in here with us today. So thank you, kids, for leading us in worship. How beautiful was it? Y'all did a great job. And so as we jump into Mark chapter 6, we just finished Jesus feeding the 5,000. Remember last week we talked about how Jesus was trying to reveal to his disciples who he was as he walks on water, and they still miss it. As we tend to do, we tend to miss Jesus every now and then, right? But now we land where they land, where they're not supposed to go, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. And what we see is Jesus has still achieved rock star status among the people of his hometown. He has achieved rock star status among the people of his hometown. If you're writing down a main point, taking notes, this is what I want you to write down. Jesus is the healing Savior, present with hope, powerful to draw the broken, and merciful to make us whole. Jesus is the healing Savior, present with hope, powerful to draw the broken, and merciful to make us whole. So the disciples, they're struggling to grasp who Jesus is. And you can debate whether or not the crowds recognize who Jesus is, but they know that there's something different about him. They know that there's something that stands out about this Jesus, about this specific man, so much so that they recognize him, start running about the whole region, and begin to bring the sick to him. This passage, number one, shows us the heart of Christ, the healing Jesus. But then it also shows us this. Our response to Jesus is supposed to be like these people. Our response to Jesus is supposed to be like these people. So the first thing I want to point out is the presence of Jesus brings hope. The presence of Jesus brings hope. As Lydia read just a minute ago, let's go back to verse 53. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. And this is one thing I want to tell you about this place. There's been debate, well, where were they going? Well, if you go back in context, they were supposed to be going to a town that starts with a B and ends with an Bethsaida. Great theologians over here. Great job over here on my left. Bethsaida. So they're supposed to be going to Bethsaida, but what happens is the wind blew them. And now look, in the day before trolling motors, in the day before, you know, Evinrude's, where you hop on and you're riding your John boat across the lake, you kind of depend on the wind. And the wind blew you wherever it took you. And so the wind blew them to the north side of the shore to Gennesaret. And here's the thing about Gennesaret, it's still in that Sea of Galilee area. You're still in that Sea of Galilee area. We actually can go back in Luke's gospel. They actually call it the Sea of Gennesaret. And then Josephus, another Jewish historian, calls it the Sea of Gennesaret. So by the wind, they landed there, but God had them land there for a purpose. We actually see that in John chapter 3, that the Spirit works as the wind. It blows where it wishes. And we have no control over wind, right? And so Jesus, though, having control of the wind, he lands at this place, and they get to the shore, and the people immediately recognize him. Immediately. There's that word again. Remember we talked about that word. All over Mark's gospel, you're going to see that word. Immediately, immediately, immediately. The Greek word is euthys. It just literally means right there, right now, that moment. This is urgent. It wasn't like Jesus landed on shore like, oh, hey, Jesus, how's your mama and them? Everybody doing good? All right, have a great day. They're like, no, there's Jesus. And then just the chaos ensues. They go to get everyone that they can to get them to Jesus. To get them to Jesus. This is what I want you to grasp. Where Jesus is present, there is hope. When they landed on that shore, the disciples who had been missing it, they see something in these people that there's hope. Wherever Jesus is present, there is hope. And this is what I want to tell you this morning. No matter where you are, no matter where your life is when you walked into this place, there's hope for you. There's hope for you. There is hope wherever Jesus is. And Jesus is here among us this morning. He's here. So no matter how much of a hot mess your family is, no matter how much you and your husband are not getting along, you and your wife are not getting along, you and your children, grandchildren, that friend, you got a work situation going on, you got some kind of, and it all feels hopeless. No, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, you came to the right place because we're in the hope business because we got Jesus. Where the desperate find hope is at the feet of Jesus. That's what's happening here. They recognize him and they're so enthralled with the idea that Jesus is here. The problem is that, you know, even the politicians of the world, even the world wants to promise us hope. You know, in 2008, that was Barack Obama's campaign slogan, one word, hope. And everybody wants to provide hope. But here's the thing, hope is not abstract, brothers and sisters. It's not an ideal, it's a person. It's Jesus Christ himself. And so many times we can miss that. We try to find our hope in our children, and guess what? They fail. We try to find hope in our husbands, our wives. Guess what? They fail. We try to find hope in our job. It fails. We try to find hope in our home. Guess what? It fails. We try to find hope in all these different areas. Brothers, sisters, quit looking to hope in all the wrong places. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Recognize his presence in your daily life. Or do you live as if he's far off? In your own family, are you living as if he's like this distant being that, you know, he cares about? No, he's there. Live as though he is there. Live as though he's there. So we see the presence of Jesus brings hope, but the power of Jesus draws people. The power of Jesus draws people. Look at verse 55. And they ran about the whole region, began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he came, in villages, in marketplaces, city, countryside, they laid him in the marketplace and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. Notice what's happening here. They hear Jesus is there, his presence there, they have hope. And what immediately do? They go and grab the people who are most in need of Jesus and bring them to Jesus. Like, I love that imagery. We even brought them on their beds. We grabbed the mattress out of their house and just brought it out. But that's how desperate they are and how urgent the need was to get people to Jesus. They wanted to do nothing more than to get their friend close to Jesus. Y'all, if somebody's bringing the sick on mats, let me tell you something, that's a helpless situation. Y'all seen people that sick, right? They can't get up. They can't take care of themselves. They're helpless. There's no hope for them. They cannot walk. Others must carry them. This is the thing. Listen to me. This is the thing. They didn't care. They didn't care. They did everything in their power to get their people to Jesus. Now, contrast this with the religious leaders of the time. The religious leaders are debating, who is this Jesus? Where does he get his power from? Is he demon-possessed? What's going on? Who is this Jesus? But the broken, they know who he is. And they may not fully understand that he's the Messiah, but they know there's healing in Jesus. They know that there's healing with Jesus. The broken come with expectancy. And here's the thing, brothers and sisters. We approach Jesus all the time with this mundane, everyday, Well, what do you got for me? And you don't expect Jesus to work. In fact, I would be willing to bet that many American Christians are living as practical atheists. You say you believe in Jesus, you do the Jesus thing, but you don't live as if he's working and existing presently in your life and actively in his power, healing, and we don't expect it anymore. We don't expect it anymore. We're so used to the church thing that we miss Jesus and what he is doing. Brothers and sisters, get out of Jesus' way and watch him work. I love what C.S. Lewis talks about, how God works. He goes, you know, he's not a lion to be defended in the cage. Just let him out. Just let him out. Let him work. But what we do is what we like to put God in a box, right? We like to put God in our boxes and say, well, God, if as long as you do this and you do this and you don't do this, then you can be my God. And when you do that, guess what happens? You're no longer worshiping God, you're worshiping yourself. You're worshiping your own idea of who God is. And some of you right now are in the midst of a very broken situation. Some of you right now are like, Tyler, I have been praying for upteen years for this person. Listen to me. I want you to hear me. Are you praying with a prayer of faith? Are you praying with expectancy? Are you praying expecting to see God work? Are you just doing it just out of the ordinary mundane routine and just going through the motions? Now listen, God works on his timetable. He's not like the genie from Aladdin, right? Like we don't rub our Bible three times and then he comes out and grants the three answers to prayers. It's not how he works. He works on his own time and his own timetable. But brothers and sisters, if we want to see Jesus work, why not expect it to work? Why not call upon him to see him work? We should be bringing people to Jesus, to the feet of Jesus, so much so that people are just filling up our pews, filling up the sanctuary, filling this place up. But the thing is, though, is that we don't expect Jesus to work. We live as though if he, you know, he saved me and these things, but we don't act like that changes our lives at all. These people came with expectancy. Jesus' power is actually magnetic. It's meant to draw people in. It's meant to bring people in. That's why the community, the church, is meant to be a compelling, magnetic community that brings people in. It draws people in. People should look at our church and be like, man, whatever's happening there, I want some of that, and they want to go. And now when they walk in, they should find a welcome environment. That's awesome. They should find solid singing. That's great. They should find vibrant family ministries. That's wonderful. They should find a good preacher. That's great. But ultimately what they should find is Jesus and him crucified. His power alone is the fuel that burns that gets our church going. That's it. That's what we want people to find. We don't want people walking out of here but, man, that TK, man, he's great. He can sing. Oh, man, that other Tyler, oh, man, he can preach. Oh, man, the people, they're so wonderful. They're so welcoming. Look, all those things are great, but what we want people to see is the Jesus that makes those things great, the Jesus that's behind it. Notice how the people are not drawn to a place. They're not drawn to this area. They're drawn to a person. They're drawn to Jesus. And this is the beautiful thing about being drawn to Jesus, brothers and sisters. It's personal. It's for you. Jesus was not sitting in an ivory tower going, no, he's walking in the midst of people, healing people. His power is personal, and the power of Jesus draws people in. It draws people in. So we say that the presence of Jesus brings hope, and the power of Jesus draws people in, but the mercy of Jesus heals the broken. Notice in verse 56, wherever he goes, they're laying the sick everywhere. The marketplaces, in the city, the villages, the countryside. Like they're bringing sick people just out just to get near Jesus because he's the place of power. And this is the thing about Jesus. He heals them. He heals them. They beg him, listen, can we at least just touch the hem of your garment? Just touch the base of your jacket and we will be healed. Please let us touch it. That Greek word there, as far as like being healed, here's the thing. It also kind of implies being saved. It implies being rescued. It actually implies this, being made whole. It wasn't just physical healing that Jesus gave. I want you to lean in on this one. This is good. It was spiritual healing. It was not just physical healing. It was spiritual healing. Jesus' healing is not just limited to the body, but it's pointing even further to healing us of our greatest disease, sin and death. So many times, and I think I brought this up a few weeks ago, or maybe even last week, I'd have to go back and look and listen, about how many times when we pray, we're praying for our own physical well-being, our own health, and those things are good things to pray. We should be praying for our own health. We should be praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ, their health and their happiness and all of these things. We should be praying for those things. But let me ask you, are you being like these people that are trying to get everyone in their power to defeat of Jesus so that your friends can be healed, so that your neighbors can be healed, so that your daughter, your son, your granddaughter, your grandson, fill in the blank, whatever it is, are you doing everything in your power to get them the healing that they need? And here's the thing, that healing is not just physical. That healing is spiritual. That healing is spiritual. Jesus does not turn anyone away who comes seeking that healing. He does not turn anyone away who comes seeking that healing. And as it points deeper, this wholeness, this whole healing, this is what we point out about the miracles of Jesus. Every miracle of Jesus, every one of them, every single miracle, I want to really get this into you. This is not supernatural. This is Jesus returning what was broken to the natural. He's taking what was broken by sin, by death, by sickness, and he says, listen, I'm going to make it whole. I'm going to give you a picture of what the new kingdom is going to be, the coming kingdom that he is proclaiming, where there will be no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more death. But y'all, we struggle as a people to get our friends and our families and our neighbors and the world even to the feet of Jesus. If Jesus is the healing Savior and his presence, his power, and his mercy is all you will ever need, if that's it, then why are we not living like it? If that's all you'll ever need, why are you not living like it? Why am I not living like it? You know, you may have walked in here today and you may be in a very broken spot. And this is what I want to tell you. Jesus wants to meet you there. You may be broken physically and you may need a prayer of healing. Amen. Let's pray for it. You may be broken emotionally and you may need a prayer of healing. Amen. Let's pray for it. But brothers and sisters, all of us are broken spiritually. Let's pray for healing there. Let's pray for spiritual healing. Let's seek out the Lord and what he is doing in the work of this area in our people and in our church. And let's humble ourselves before his feet and realize that he is the place of healing. He is the place of healing. There's nothing more that we need than to be healed of our ailments. But the ultimate ailment we need to be healed of is our ailment of sin, our ailment of brokenness from the death that just reaps throughout our very souls. I heard a friend of mine, he was preaching last week. And he used this great illustration, and I messaged him, and I was like, hey, man, can I use this? And he's like, absolutely. So this is his illustration. It was really good. He was talking about how he was sitting with an older man. They were eating. And this older man, he challenged my friend who's a fellow pastor. And he said, listen, if every one of your prayers for the last year were answered, if God said, I'm going to answer every single one of your prayers, every prayer that you prayed, how many people will be made whole in salvation? And my friend said, man, and it's such a great line, and it's very much him. He said, man, that hit me quicker in the gut than Waffle House does a few hours after you eat it. It hit me hard. And so I want to challenge you in that way. If Jesus really is a healing Jesus, and his salvation is what makes humanity whole again, are you praying like that? Are you living like that? Are you doing everything in your power to get the broken people near you to Jesus? And if we're being quite honest, I don't think we are. I don't think any of us are. But today's the day that that can change. Today's the day that that can change. Today's the day that we can see Jesus as the healing Jesus and go, you know what? Like, first off, we're going to commit to pray. We're going to commit to pray against the brokenness in our area, against the darkness in our area, against all the brokenness even within our own body. If revival, you want revival to break out, guess where it starts? In the house of God. It starts here. And y'all, there are people that are really susceptible to hearing the things of faith right now. We are watching people that are very curious about what the church is and what this Christianity thing is. They're drawn to this message of radical forgiveness and radical mercy and grace. And guess what? You can give it to them. Drag them to the feet of Jesus. And so the first thing we do is by prayer. By prayer. So next week, don't forget, 8:30 in the morning, we're going to meet right over here in our prayer room. If you don't know where our prayer room is, the building right there, we'll have the door unlocked. We'll have some people out there. We will show you where to go. We're going to pray together at 8:30 tomorrow, next Sunday morning, and we're going to pray all of these things. We're going to pray for healing. And not just healing in the sense of, man, I want to pray for someone to become physically well. No, we want our community to become spiritually well. That's what we want. So we're going to pray for that. We're going to be praying for families to be restored. We're going to be praying for marriages to be healed, for family, for parental dynamics to be healed. We're going to be praying for all of these things, not just for us, but for our entire community. And then the second thing that we can do, this is crazy, we can go get people. We can go get people. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, another local pastor in the Shoals, and he was talking about just the demographics of our area. And right now, there's 16,000 people in Muscle Shoals. 16,000. And if you look at church attendance in Muscle Shoals, y'all, there's still thousands upon thousands of people who don't go to church anywhere in the Shoals. And today's the day I want to challenge you. These people, they were surrounded by sick people, so they said, you know what, we're going to get them to Jesus because he's the healing Jesus. We're going to get them to Jesus. If you look at me today and say, well, all my friends are Christian, that's wonderful. You have an entire eternity to spend with them. Go make friends with non-believers and drag them to Jesus. Get them to Jesus. If you don't know how to do that, let's sit down, let's talk, let's go to lunch, come to my Wednesday night Bible study. We were talking all about those kind of things. Come to Dawn's study where they're walking through Philippians. Come be equipped to do that. That's our job, right? Your pastoral staff, your ministerial staff, your deacons, they can only do so much. The power of God is in you as well. The same power that raised Christ from the dead resides in you. You can go do the same. So may we go into the highways and the byways and bring all of these people to Jesus. But even today, and I have told y'all this so many times. I genuinely feel that there's someone running from the Lord. Every time we gather, every time we gather in this room, I feel it. And I've had other people come to me like, hey, I have felt it too. That they don't know Jesus. And if that's you today, I want to challenge you. There is no place of shame. This is the best place to be. I was literally talking to someone last week who's walking in a beautiful faith journey. They're walking towards Jesus. They're asking phenomenal questions that I would be willing to bet the majority of believers haven't asked. They're wrestling through it and all these things. And I said, what better place to ask these questions than in a church at the feet of Jesus? There is mercy available for you here. Will you humble yourself like the crowds and reach out in faith to Jesus and realize that it's in him that you can be made whole? You can keep trying. You can keep doing all you want to. But what you're going to realize is that every earthly situation that you're in and every earthly solution that you try is going to fail and fail miserably. It's going to break. But listen to me, at the feet of Jesus, there is healing. At the table of Jesus, there is healing. The crowds, they recognized Jesus, they ran to him and carried others. They did everything they could to find their mercy from Jesus. This is the Jesus that we worship. He's present to bring hope, powerful to draw us in, merciful to heal our brokenness, because he is the healing Jesus. So this is what we're going to do. I want us to have kind of a time of like reflection, if you will, before we go to take the Lord's table in response to this sermon. I want us to pray. And this altar's open. I'm gonna be standing down here. TK and Connor, they're gonna be down here. And this is what I want you to grasp. I really want you to do this. I want you to pray for healing where you're sitting. I want you to be praying for healing up here. I don't care where you are. I want us to pray for healing. I told one of my Baptist buddies back home, I was back home this weekend for a birthday party, and I said, hey man, we're praying for healing. We're gonna have like a little bit of a healing service. He goes, oh no. And I said, not like that. There ain't nothing special about this jacket. I got it from Old Navy for Christmas. Don't come up here and touch it. Yeah, ain't nothing gonna happen. You can touch it if you want to. Ain't nothing gonna happen. But we're gonna go to Jesus. We're gonna go to Jesus. And some of you, you may want to come up here and you may want one of your pastors to pray for you. Guess what? We will. We may all surround you and pray. There are some of us today that are walking through physical ailments. Let's pray for them. Let's surround them. If you know somebody that's in need of prayer, guess what? Get up, walk across the room and pray for them. It's crazy. Did you know you could do that? You can move from your little spot. It's wild, I know. But I want us to just take a moment and just have a time of healing. So I'm going to ask, where did Anita go? I'm going to ask Anita. Anita, could you come up here and just play just for a moment, for just a few minutes? And we're just going to just go into a time of prayer and healing. I'm going to begin this. And then I just want us to really commit to praying for healing in our church, healing in our city, healing in our land, and not just physical healing, but spiritual healing. Let's pray. Father, before we come to this table, may we see that healing is at the feet of Jesus. God, I know right now, just from being in the midst and among our people, that there are people in desperate need of the healing that Jesus can bring. Not just this spiritual healing, I mean, not just the physical healing, but the spiritual healing that he can bring. God, I pray that we will come to Jesus and be healed. I pray that we'll have the boldness to get up and go and pray for one another today in this moment before we come to the Lord's table. May we seek the healing, Jesus, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all continue to pray. Pray with one another. And let's commit to pray for just a few moments before we come to the table. And deacons, I'll tell you when to come down, okay? Y'all just continue to pray. Maybe some of you need to come down and be prayed over. We're here. Maybe you are experiencing a broken relationship right now that needs to be made whole. Guess what? You're in the right place. There is hope here, brothers and sisters. And maybe, just maybe, today is the day of salvation for some of you, maybe one of you. Please quit running. I ask you, please stop running. Come to the feet of Jesus and be made whole. Be saved. And may we pray that God would just do a work within our hearts, all of our hearts collectively, to go out and to bring people to Jesus as this city did. When they saw Jesus, they recognized him. They brought the people to Jesus. May we be a people that bring people to Jesus so they can be made whole. Father, we love you. You were so good to us to bring us to yourself. You're so good to us by giving us the gift of Christ. And Father, what a truly beautiful gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of our God is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May we see the beautiful gift that Jesus is. God, as one of our deacons, I was with him on Thursday, and we were talking about the disciples going out, casting out demons, and how happy they were to do that. Jesus says to them, don't be happy for that. Be happy that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Be happy that you know Jesus. Be happy that you are saved. May we be a people who are happy about our salvation, but also the people that go out and to tell others about the goodness of God, the goodness of Jesus Christ. The Jesus who is the healing Jesus. He's present to bring hope, powerful to draw us in, and merciful to heal our brokenness, no matter how broken we feel. God, I just pray that we will be a people who are motivated to do that. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As we move into this time of the table, I'm going to ask our deacons to come forward. I'm going to ask Pastor Connor to come on up as well. Stand with me. May we be a people who run to Jesus and bring others to him and trust him for healing. Amen? May we be a people who do that. This is what the word of the Lord says in 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Pastor Ray Ortland says, to all who are weary and need rest, to all who mourn and long for comfort, to all who feel worthless and wonder if God even cares, to all who fail and desire strength, to all who sin and need a Savior, receive the invitation to this table from the Lord Jesus Christ, the ally of his enemies, the defender of the guilty, the justifier of the inexcusable, the friend of sinners. He has made you holy because he is holy. Come to the table, all who belong to the family of Jesus. Now, this text also tells us that we should not partake of the cup in an unworthy manner. So I pray in the last few moments you've even evaluated your own heart. We ask that if you're walking in unrepentant sin, do not partake today. It's okay. But also we pray that you seek the Lord in this moment and seek forgiveness, and guess what? You will find it. You will find it at the feet of Jesus. So if you're a baptized believer this morning and you are here with us, we want to invite you to this table. We want you to come and partake with us as we distribute the elements. There's a beautiful story in 2 Samuel chapter 9. The story of the son of Jonathan, and his name is an incredible name, Mephibosheth. Now, Mephibosheth was crippled, couldn't get around on his own, and back in that day, that was more or less a death sentence. And not only that, what we see in this text is he's the son of King David, he's the grandson of King David's rival, Saul. And so guess what Mephibosheth does one day? It's so beautiful. He comes to David and he falls on his face before David. And he says, "Behold, I'm your servant. That's all I am. I'm just a servant. I'm not even worthy enough to come here. But let me tell you what David does." This is what's beautiful. Listen to what it says. 2 Samuel 9, verse 7. "And David said to him, 'Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan, and I will restore you to all the land of Saul, your father, and you shall eat at my table always.'" And listen to what Mephibosheth says. "What is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I?" Listen to what he says. David says, "Listen, all that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson, and you and your sons, your servants shall till the land for him and shall bring in the produce that your master's grandson may have bread to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall always eat at my table." Verse 12. "And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who lived in Ziba's house became Mephibosheth's servants. Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he always ate at the king's table. Now he was lame in both his feet." Brothers and sisters, that's your story. You were lame, you couldn't walk, you couldn't come to the table. There was nothing worthy enough to get you here. But Jesus, your big brother, he looked and he said, "You know what? I'm going to get them there." And how did he get you there? Through his body and through his blood. Through the life that he lived for you. Through the death that he died for you and him coming back from the grave. He says the same thing that David said to Mephibosheth: "You will always eat at my table. You will always eat at my table." So no matter how broken you are, no matter how lame spiritually you are, if you know Jesus, welcome to the table, brothers and sisters. Come and find a seat. This is his body, which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Christ. This is his blood, which was shed for you. Drink this in remembrance of Christ. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is among us. He is here among us, and there is healing here. So even today, I'm going to be out in the Welcome Center. There's going to be some pastors up here, Connor, TK. There's going to be deacons everywhere. If you need prayer today, come find it. And realize this, that no matter how broken you feel, you are welcome to the table through Christ Jesus. Amen? So the first time that the disciples took the supper, they sang a hymn together. And so we're going to close by singing a hymn. So TK, will you come and lead us in Amazing Grace? We're going to sing the first verse. Is that it? That first verse? Mm-hmm. We're going to sing the first verse of Amazing Grace. Will you stand and sing Amazing Grace with us? And then consider yourselves dismissed.